Let the church say amen. God is good. Once again, God is good. I think this may need a battery, Brother Jackson. It's not coming. Oh, okay. Maybe I should turn it on in order for it to come on. First of all, did someone lose some keys? I have some keys up here that was found in return, and you can pick them up afterwards if these are your keys. Let the church say amen. God is good. God is good. And all the time. I didn't hear you the first time, so I thought I'd better repeat it. So let us thank God for what He has done for us. And this morning, I'm extremely happy about this morning because I get to see this morning. I woke up this morning, so I'm extremely happy. And I hope you feel happy just the same because God didn't have to wake us up. He could have let us just kept right on sleeping, but He woke us up. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 45th chapter of Genesis, and it says, And Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." And from that, we want to use for a subject, "Before I Die." But let us take a moment and go to God in prayer this morning. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you, O Lord. Thank you that you have blessed us to be here this morning. Thank you that you didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway, and we want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the church itself, and thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus, who because He died, we have this opportunity to the tree of life. I thank you this morning, Father, for each and every one sitting in the audience this morning. I thank you for my family, my friends, my loved ones, and I thank you for all that you do for me, O Lord. And let me pray, O Lord, and ask you to continue to bless the congregation this morning, the leadership as well as their families, as well as the membership and their families. Thank you, O Lord, for such a bright and a lovely day. And Father, we pray that our services would be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. This morning, Father, we come thanking you and praying for those who are sick. We still have an extensive sick list, and we're asking everyone to continue to pray for those who are sick. But we're asking you, O Lord, if it be your will, that you would touch them with your healing finger, that they may soon be able to return. We're praying for those who still may be on their way here, that they may have safe passage to get here. Then, Father, we're praying also for those who are traveling, that their travels may be completed and that all would be safe and secure as well as for their return. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the brothers who have taken part in the services thus far, and please continue to bless them and their families. Bless all of the church house this morning, O Lord, and bless all of those who are in the church houses, wherever they may be, if they're holding up the bloodstained banner, O Lord. Bless those who are teaching the Lord in spirit and in truth. Thank you for your word, God, that we can teach from your word. Thank you this morning, O Heavenly Father, for everything, anything, and all things that you do for us. Please, O Heavenly Father, it is in the name of your Son, Jesus, we continue to ask for all of these blessings and more. Let us say, amen. This morning in the text, we have the story of Jacob or Israel learning and finally hearing that his son, whom he thought was dead, is now alive. He said, "I will go to him before I die." Now, many people have good intentions to do something or another. Some are good and some are not so good. Some have coined the phrase for these thoughts, calling it the bucket list, meaning that one plans to do something or another before the end of his or her life. Do you have a bucket list this morning? Some want to visit some exotic destination. Some may even want to own a particular item or item, but yet still others may want to accumulate great wealth. But with all of these things put aside, a Christian's list should be that of drawing near to God. For non-Christians, it should be all about coming to God for the very first time. The only thing about making this list up is that you don't know when your time may be up. So let us take this moment right now and just thank God that He has given us another moment and another opportunity that we may go to Him and we may come to Him to do these things before we die. So the first thing I want to talk about is I will be saved before I die. Many people are under the misguided logic that one is saved because they take the steps of going to church. But we must teach folk that just because you go to church, that's not all you need to do in order to be saved. You must understand that you first must hear and believe the gospel. And you must continue to study God's word. In Acts chapter 4 in the verses number 12, the word calls out, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Salvation should be at the top of everyone's priority list, especially Christians. Visiting the church 3 or 4 times a year will not save us. Neither will reading the Bible. Even if you read it every day, there's more to it than just reading the Bible every day. No other name which we may call out can save us except Jesus Christ. Salvation is available to one and all. No matter where you stand in this life, you can have salvation. How much one achieves, whether it be wealth, fame, or fortune, it can never be equated to knowing Jesus Christ. Not only knowing Him, but having salvation because of Him. There's a very familiar passage in Matthew chapter 16 around verse number 26. It's kind of a yardstick, if you will, a measurement of what we should be doing and what we should be thinking about. It asks the question, "For what would a man give for his own soul? What would a man trade, in other words, for his soul?" It's something that we should consider, and most of us have heard that before. Well, what is a man profit if he gains the whole world and then lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let us consider for a moment that question, if you will. When you think about it, if I had every, and I'll use me as an example, if I had every car make in the world at my disposal, if I had money that stretched around the world, if I had 700 wives and 300 concubines like Solomon, with all of these things, would it be anything for me to boast of? Yes, I could boast materialistically, but I still could not boast of having my soul in God's hand. If my soul is lost, can I regain my soul? Well, once your soul is lost, according to the text, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You can exchange your soul if you do the right things. How much does it cost to purchase a soul or to purchase salvation? Well, it cost Christ His life for all of us. And for us, it cost us the fact that we must accept Him, believe on Him, and confess in Him, repent of our past, and be baptized. He redeemed our souls with His death. Can you boast of your soul being redeemed this morning? If you're not serving the Lord in spirit and in truth, where are you standing this morning? Where is your soul at this morning? What are you doing this morning? What are you thinking about this morning that you don't want your soul to be saved? What are you thinking this morning that if I die before my soul is saved, do you think in these terms, if I die before my soul is saved, where will my soul be at? Where will my soul have its final resting place? Think about that for a moment, if you will, church. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2 tells us, now, not yesterday, not today, but right now is the accepted day of, or the accepted time of salvation. In this day is the day of salvation, I should say. Before I die. You know, that's a big thought there. Before I die. The problem with thinking about that before you die, and I've talked about this on many occasions, The problem is you don't know when you're going to die. The problem is you don't know what's in store for you. The problem is you don't know how to structure your life so that I'll be ready when He comes. You just got to stay ready and be always ready. So then we must become obedient to God. In order that one becomes obedient to the will of God, he must first accept God as his Savior. In Mark chapter 3 in the verses number 35, "For whosoever shall doeth the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother." This verse is showing us that it's good to be doers of the word. It's good to follow the word. It's good not only to hear the word, but to be doers. Be doers that we may become accepted into the family of God. To become obedient to the word and the will of God, there are blessings to be received. He tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verses number 24 through about verse number 33, that we are not to worry, we are not to take thought about our life. He says, "Take no thought for your life." He lets us to know we don't need to worry about food, nor about our bodies, nor about tomorrow. Jesus also says in verse number 33, "All of these things shall be added unto you." And just in case there are some who might not know, the God that we serve is in the blessing business. In Psalms 37, in chapter number 4, the Bible says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." Delight thyself also in the Lord. But I want to go back to Matthew chapter 6 there for a minute. And I want to talk there for a moment about not worrying about nothing. Not worrying about what your life is going to be. For you can't change it no matter how much you worry about it. And I may have told you this before, but I used to worry a lot because I didn't want to be short. But I'm short. And I can't get around that. And no matter how much worrying I do about that, I'm still going to be short when all is said and all is done. And I'm not going to sit around and ask the question of myself about how come you're not taller? How come you can't be taller? Well, I'm not going to grow anymore. I'm too old to grow now. I might grow out, but I'm not going to grow up. So I thought about that and I said to myself, if I'm in God's hand, He made me the way He wanted me to be. Now it's me that can unmake me the way God made me. You see, no man is perfect. No man is without sin in his life. Now we talked a little bit about it this morning. There's none of us that are necessarily habitual sinners, or we shouldn't be. But at the same time, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says that when you ask God, when you remember that God is in the blessing business, He shall give thee desires of thine heart. What about spiritual blessings, Lord? Well, watch how the Lord strengthens us. Go over with me, if you will. Just turn with me, if you will, to Psalms chapter 1 and verses 1, 2, and 3. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bring forth his fruit in season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall profit." Now I want you to think for a minute on that. First, the man who says no to the advice of the ungodly and does not gather himself with the scornful. Instead, he delights in the law of God. He meditates on it both day and night. Where in verse number 3, this is where God sends his blessing upon those who are here. If we want God's blessing, we must become obedient to his will. And these three verses show us that. It shows us, the first thing it shows us is that we must be obedient to the will of God. Number 2, it shows us what this man does not do in verse 2. And verse number 3 shows us what he can become like, what he becomes like through the word of God. And I like verse number 3, so I'm going to reread that. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. The leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall profit. So when you think about this, shall prosper, I should say. When you think about this and you look at this matter, if you are in the Lord, you'll be like a tree planted by the water. But you know something? It's difficult sometimes for us to stay planted in the Lord. It's difficult for many of us. You know why? Because we don't want to follow what the Word tells us to do. We don't want to follow it. And I'm not saying, I'm not accusing anybody of not following the Word, but it's difficult for some of us to stay in the Word. And when you think about it, it shouldn't be. Then I want you to consider that I will set things in order with others. Oh, this is a good part here. Because some of us, we're carrying baggage. Some of us are carrying baggage. So many of us like to carry the weight of burdens that we don't need to be carrying. We don't need to carry something that happened 20 years ago in our lives. Let it go. Let it go no matter what it was. You can let it go. Remembering the things of the past only makes us angry later on. Most of us only remember things of the past so that we can bring them up every so often. Many brothers and sisters have become tied up and tangled up in the things that should have never been, never even come up in the first place. In Matthew chapter 5 and verses around 22 and verse 24, it talks about the dangers of being or having anger against thy brother without a cause. No, and I know that some of us are mad at some folk that we so mad at them sometimes, we get so mad at them sometimes, and sometimes we don't let that madness go. Sometimes we like to hold on to it. Sometimes we like to say that, well, if he hadn't did that to me back then, I would be all right today. You're trying to lay the fault of your own self on somebody else. But the Bible tells us to let it go. The Bible tells us not to hold it anything against our brother without a cause. But some in their minds, you know what they think? I won't go to him because he won't come to me. He has to come to me before I'm going to get right with that. He owes me an apology. Well, you know what? Some of us are going to take that to the grave thinking that he owes me an apology. And what difference does it make? You're supposed to forget, forgive, and move on. If he doesn't come to me, I'm not going to him. So the one who's not at fault should forgive the other one and let it go. If you have an ought against your brother, forgive him and move on. Don't carry that burden with you. Don't hold that grudge against someone. Because you know what may happen? That person that you're holding a grudge against, that person may die. Just like you are going to die too. That person may move away from the country, may move out of state. But whatever, and you may not ever be able to locate him, but whatever it is, just let it go. And that's sad to say that we won't forgive somebody over something that happened so long ago. Many of us have forgotten why am I mad? I don't know. But I know it was something. I know it was something that he forgot that I'm mad about, something that I forgot that I'm mad about. But when you think about it, when you look back at that text that we read in the beginning of Genesis 45 and verse number 28, you look at it and you say that here was a man who had been missing his son for all of these many years, and somebody came to him and told him, he said, your son is alive. And he said, I will go and see him before I die. He could have said, well, he didn't try to reach me, but he didn't. He said, I'm going to go and see him before I die. That's the way we've got to become. We've got to become just like that and say, I'm going to go see him, or in this case, I'm going to trust in the Lord and I'm going to become a member of the Lord's body before I die. The only problem is, if you don't do it while you have an opportunity, you don't know if you'll be here next week. See, next week is not promised. You know what? The next minute is not promised to us. The next hour certainly is not. And certainly not next year. You know how many people plan that I'm going to take me a cruise in year after next? You're planning for a cruise, and I wouldn't suggest nobody get on a cruise ship these days. But just in case you're planning for that cruise 2 years, a year and a half from now, take heart and take thought for yourself and say, am I right with God? Because you could get stuck out there in all that water. And if you're stuck out there in all that water and you can't swim, you never know what may happen. So just like the rest of us who are not Christians, if we want to get right with God, we need to take this day, this very day, and get right with Him. Many folk harbor faults against one another so long that they take it in them, they think in their own mind that this is the right way to be. This is the right way to be, and I don't need to think any other way but this way that I think. But what are you going to do with this burden that you're carrying if you don't try to get it right with your brother? And I talk a lot about getting right with God, or getting right with your brother and loving your brother, because that's essential for us. It's very essential for us. Because we'll holler, a lot of us will holler, oh, I love the Lord, but I hate Brother Carter. And how are you going to think that you're going to get up there hating me down here? Can't do it. If we don't forgive, our Father in heaven will not forgive us. What a sad way to leave this life, not forgiving one another. It is even sadder for a person to die before coming to Christ. After death, there are no more chances left to come to Him. Yes, we all shall come before Him, but I can't come to Him unless I do it while I'm alive. It's better to meet Him before that day comes when we stand before Him. And as I may have mentioned to you earlier, coming to church every Sunday does not make one saved. Reading the Bible does not save one by itself. The way to be saved is to go right here in this watery grave of baptism. In this watery grave of baptism, you contact the blood of Jesus Christ. And your sins will be washed away. You know why you go down in this water? Not because your family wants you to. Not because I think that's what Grandma wants me to do. But because you want to be saved, you want to be redeemed, you want for the redemption of your sin, is why you go in the water. You have to make yourself a promise. You have to tell yourself that I love the Lord and I know that He is my Savior. You have to confess this. You have to turn your life around. And speaking of turning your life around, you have to remember that when you come to the Lord, you don't live like you used to live. You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to live like you once lived. I have to let that, you know, that real nice nightclub that I've been going to all these years, I have to let that go. I have to let that go because that's not where, now, although I might say you might find some Christian folks that you know in there, but you shouldn't. You should find just what you think you're going to find. People enjoying worldly things. But then, how many times have you decided within yourself, I'm going to take one last drink. And after this, I'm going to put this bottle down forever. But that last drink turns into another last drink. Another last drink turns into another last drink. And before you know it, well, just one more ain't going to hurt. And that one more turns into another one more. But you've got to learn to be obedient to the Lord's will. You've got to learn what, remember what Romans 5 and 9 says. By His blood we shall be saved. By His blood. Not by the bottle. Not by my friends. Not by my wife. Not by my husband. Not by my mother. Not by my father. But by His blood shall be saved. So when you think about it, church, when you look at this matter as a whole, you need to make sure that before you die, you come to Christ. And I'm not going to belabor the point any longer. I just want you to know that God is alive and God is waiting. God is waiting on us. We're not